Well, once again, good morning and welcome to Bell Shoals. My name is Corey Abney. I serve as the lead pastor here, and I am joined by two of my dearest friends and two of our campus pastors, Dr. Tim Armstrong from our Riverview campus and Master Stephen Staton from our Apollo Beach campus. And we want to welcome right now our Apollo Beach and Riverview campuses who are joining us. Thank you so much for connecting with us today. Not that you had a choice, but we are thrilled to be answering your questions across all of our campuses. And I'm, again, just thrilled to be joined by my dear friends here and just great leaders at Bell Shoals. And our goal is to answer as many questions as we can this morning. We'll have about 10 questions or so. We'll get into some other areas as well. We'll be able to answer and address. We had hundreds of questions come in. So let me just remind you that our podcast will go live right after this service. We have a 4-episode podcast where we are answering at length every question that came in throughout the series. And that'll be available on every major platform, our YouTube channel, website, and everything in between. So make sure you access that throughout the week. That'll give a little deeper dive into the questions that you asked and our answers to them. And I just want to thank you for your response. All of our campuses, we had an overwhelming response to this series, and that's why we thought it was really important for us to take a few minutes today and answer at least the top questions that came in. And Dr. Armstrong, I think we should start with you.
Okay.
Just because you're the best looking one up here.
I don't go that far, man.
Oh, I think it's obvious.
Oh, well, all right.
Do you not? Whatever. You don't think so?
Well, no, you're in charge. Go ahead.
I think he's the best reflection of what our glorified bodies will look like.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
All right. So the number one question that came in. Okay, this is actually the number one question that we received every single week of the series. This question came in some form or fashion. But what happens, Tim, when someone dies now, right, in what we would call the intermediate state, before the second coming of Jesus, in what we would call the eternal state? And so many of you have asked, okay, what happens when we die in the here and now? Do we immediately go to heaven? Some people believe in what we call soul sleep. We just kind of sleep and then wake up. It's like being under some type of spiritual anesthesia, maybe. We wake up when the Lord returns. So talk about what happens between now and the second coming of Jesus for those who die, their souls.
Yeah, you know, this is the question that all of us have on our mind, because all of us, unless the Lord returns, will experience death. What happens in that intermediate state between that time period of our death and the return of Jesus? Well, certainly that within Christianity, there are those who would say the body goes to the grave and corrupts. The soul, some would say, sleeps, has no other interaction with anybody until the return of Jesus, and the body and the soul are the new body, resurrected body, is reunited. That's certainly one within the larger picture of Christianity. Far less sense in Scripture that that is the case. There's the other side, and that's, I think, where most of us probably align with, and that is absent from the body, present with the Lord.
Yeah.
Certainly, we see a number of references even in the Old Testament and into the New Testament, that when we die, we go to be in the presence of our Messiah, Jesus. Jesus himself, while he was on the cross, said to the thief, "You'll be with me today, in paradise."
That's right.
And so I think the preponderance of the evidence suggests that when we cease to live, we breathe our last, then our souls go to be with Jesus.
No, I agree. And that is our position across all of our staff, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Yeah. And we understand that our souls go to be with the Lord. As you said, our bodies are returned to the earth. Mm-hmm. We had many questions come in about cremation, which we talk about at length on the podcast. But I don't think there's any reason to see cremation as a wrong or an evil, because In a sense, all of our bodies are subject to decay, as you said. But our spirits, upon death, now in the intermediate state, immediately go to be with the Lord and are comforted. And we exist in that way. And the hope, as we talked about in this series, the hope for our eternal state is the second coming of Jesus, where our souls are united with our glorified bodies, and then we have an existence as body and soul together for the rest of time. And so really that is the importance of the second coming. That's why we've emphasized that in the series.
That is our hope. That is our hope. So talk to us, Tim, about like, because I know there's some describing like purgatory as far as that and that intermediate state, you know, thoughts on that.
So our Catholic friends and many probably have come from Catholicism into Protestantism. We as Protestants don't embrace the idea of a purgatory. Now that comes out of a Catholic doctrine and understanding that when we receive Jesus, we're returned to a state of grace, but then as we live our lives, we commit these sins. Those sins haven't been made a satisfaction for, and so you must spend a particular amount of time in purgatory paying for those sins. That theology is actually somewhat necessary in the Catholic faith. It was started in 1245, but yet it reaffirmed throughout history, but really doesn't have a biblical precedent. In fact, many Catholics are surprised to find out purgatory is not even mentioned in the scriptures.
Wow.
In fact, the opposite is mentioned. Paul's writing in Romans chapter 5, he says, "But God showed his love for us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood." So we have been made right in the sight of God. There is therefore now no condemnation for
those who are in
Christ. So we would say that purgatory is not a biblical understanding of the intermediate state.
Yeah, and that's why we would say the issue of purgatory, for those of you who have asked, is ultimately a gospel issue.
Right.
Because purgatory is rooted in a theological framework whereby we can atone for our sin in some form or fashion. So it comes through priestly confession on a human level. It comes through, as you said, Tim, even in the afterlife, kind of a paying for our sin or giving atonement for our sin. And the reality is the scriptures could not be any more clear about the fact that we cannot atone for our own sin.
That's right.
Only Jesus can do that.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but it's past, present, and future.
That's
because if you think about it, all of our sins are future at the cross.
That's right.
And so whether we receive Christ today and yet I still live a life of mounting debt to God, that sin was paid for at the cross forward. So what is next for me upon my death? I then go to be with Jesus, who is the great high priest who sat down at the right hand of God.
That's right.
His work was finished.
That's right. So that's where, man, Jesus has covered all of that for us, right? Like, there's no future sin to yet be paid for or atoned for, as you said, because Jesus has covered it. So to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, because Christ has already fully satisfied the demands of a holy God.
That's why That's why we sing, Jesus paid it all, to him I owe.
Where's Jason?
Sin had left a crimson stain. Come on. He washed it white as snow. We don't need no Jason Millsaps up in here. We got me.
Oh, man. Now, we have trained professionals. This is not karaoke hour, okay?
Washing heaven's windows right now. Jesus paid it all. Okay, sorry. I'm sorry. Squirrel! I'm focused now.
It was CC Whining concert, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was Friday's night's concert.
My goodness.
I don't recall any of that in our notes.
Sorry about that.
But you're right, though. It's the eternal state is secured
for sure
now, and it was secured at the resurrection of Jesus. That's why we have Easter. Right? I mean, that secured our victory forever. And so the eternal state is the place where we will reside in body and soul united without any purgatory in between, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so elaborate then, Stephen. Another question that came in is, what will our heavenly bodies look like?
Oh, come on.
Will our glorified bodies look like? Will they be the forms we have now, but better? That was a common question.
I'm hoping I finally have washboard abs. So, at least my wife does anyway.
But she won't be your wife in the eternal state.
Yeah. That's another question.
It'll be too late.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. Which she'll be grateful for, but I'll be sad about that. But anyway.
For sure.
So glorified bodies, I think that's a great question, and it's coming a lot. So I think we have to, again, we look at Scripture where Jesus is the prototype of our resurrected bodies.
Agreed.
1 Corinthians 15 talks about how Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection or the or eternal state. First fruits meaning like, you know, first fruits of the harvest. That gives you a sampling, a taste of what is to come. And so if we look at Jesus's resurrected body in the scriptures, his body looked very similar to what, you know, there was continuity with the past. When he showed up with his disciples, the disciples weren't like, who are you? You know, no, they knew this is Jesus because there was continuity with the past. He ate, he drank, two occasions in the scriptures where Jesus shared a meal in his resurrected body with his disciples in John 21 and Luke after the road to Emmaus. So I think all of those things point to the fact that, you know, there's continuity with the past, but also at the same time, Jesus, his body in the resurrection didn't have the limitations that we have now. I mean, he passed through the crowds, he appeared in a room, things like that. And so what age will we be? I'm thinking 25.
I like that.
So,
I like that.
Because I was, I still had hair at 25. So, hoping. So those are just some of the things about the glorified body right
No, I totally agree. And the whole notion of first fruits, remember, is so important in the scriptures because when you go out for the first day of the harvest and you harvest strawberries, you don't go out the second day and harvest oranges.
That's right, yeah.
And the point of the first fruits is whatever you get in the first fruits is what you're going to get in the second fruits and the third fruits and the fourth fruits. And I love what you said, Stephen. In the scriptures, Christ's resurrection, his bodily resurrection, is the first fruits of our resurrection and what will happen in his return when our souls are united with our glorified bodies. And the sense that as Christ was human post-resurrection, we will be human post-resurrection. He's the first fruits, we're the second fruits, but it's not going to be, well, Jesus looked like this and acted like this and he ate like this, and yet we're gonna look radically different.
Yeah.
No, we're going to emulate the humanity of Jesus, in particular, the glorified, resurrected humanity of Jesus, so that, for example, we will no longer be prone to death. We will not be prone to weakness, illness, aging.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's possible that we will be able to explore the universe. Possible that we're able to experience life in a heightened way. So, Tim, I always refer to our new bodies, our glorified bodies, as a heightened existence. It's not a radically different existence from what we know now, but it's a heightened existence.
That's exactly right. So we have to think return to Eden.
That's right.
God
That's
created right. you, Corey Abney, you, Stephen Staten, he's created you. What will you be like in heaven? Well, you'll be you, right? So some of the questions that come in is like, yeah, but there are parts of my body I don't like. And, you know, what am I going to do then? How would you answer that question?
Well, I hope I'm not stuck with his nose.
What are you talking about?
You know what I'm saying?
You got a good nose.
We have beautiful Roman noses.
Yes, we do. No, I think that's exactly right. So that's why in the eternal state, you know, we have enough evidence in Scripture to where we'll recognize each other. We will know each other. It's like it's a transfiguration. You know, the disciples recognized Moses and Elijah.
That's right.
I think we'll know each other. At whatever age we are, okay, we will recognize each other. Another question that came in along these lines is, okay, well, what about those who die young? Or, you know, we could even say those who die old. Like, in whatever state our glorified bodies are given to us, we will be recognizable. So You know, even those we lose too young. I believe that we have biblical evidence that infants and those who are lost without the mental capacity to contemplate the gospel will be in the eternal state. I believe that. And, you know, we probably, at least most of us, if not all of us, know friends or family members who have lost loved ones way too soon. Mm. And I believe in the eternal state, we will know them. Mm. In whatever way they would have been at 25 or whatever, to use, you know, a clearly human designation, right? Temporal designation. It's the same is true for someone who dies at 112. We'll recognize them as they are in the glorified state. And if you only knew them from years 110 to 112, you're still going to recognize them in whatever way we appear in the glorified state. And so to your point, Tim, that's exactly right. We will maintain our God-given uniqueness in the eternal state, and we will know each other.
Right.
So we want to see it as a restored Eden. We want to see our bodies as a heightened experience, even better than what we know now.
Yeah.
And Stephen, that's why, like, we talk about this in the series. We're not just going to be sitting around with harps. Oh. You may be doing a lot of singing. Apparently, that's important to you.
Okay, I'll stop.
So, yeah, I'll probably be in a different part of the neighborhood. If you're leading the singing, Tim and I will be... We'll be in the... I don't know, where will we be?
Yeah, we're going to be hanging out with Millsaps. I don't know about...
We'll be in the Jason section. The Tennessee section. That's where Jason... We will not have Jason's accent, I can tell you that. Okay, but, like... You know, in our glorified bodies at whatever age and state this is, right?
Yeah.
By the way, one of our staff, we talk about this in the podcast, actually thinks that time will remain in the eternal state and we will age in the eternal state, but we will age without decay. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not there because I cannot imagine a birthday party. You're 1,470 years old. That's a lot of candles to put on a cake, all right?
Yeah.
So I'm not 100% sure about that, but... The point is, in our glorified bodies, knowing each other, recognizing each other, there's no marriage in heaven, the scripture teaches, but we'll have these very important relationships with each other and with the Lord.
Yeah.
And then we will function in an Eden-esque kind of way, just as Adam and Eve did prior to sin entering the world.
Yeah. Which, again, at least a great question, and I think there's a lot of us that we wonder about this. You know, are we going to work, create, love, sleep? What are we going to do?
Yep.
Forever.
That's right.
And I think for a lot of us, and we would never admit this on a Sunday morning at church or anything like that, but a lot of us, we kind of have this idea, are we going to get bored? And are we just going to be floating around on clouds in our diapers, shooting our Nerf bow and arrows and listening to Morgan Freeman read the dictionary forever? You know, I mean, what are we going to do?
That's the first I've heard of diapers, by the way.
So, I mean, we're floating in clouds. In fact, there was this one when I was studying for the series, this one atheist, he's like, I don't believe in the afterlife. That way I don't have to worry about the horrors of hell or even heaven. And then he said this, he says, because I feel like I would rather take the tortures of hell than the boredom of heaven.
Yeah.
Because, again, is it an eternal choir practice forever and ever? Are we going to sing, I thank God, for billions and billions of years? So it's important for us to understand that when we get there, again, restored Eden, Genesis 1 and 2, we're going to have jobs to do. You know, we're going to work. You look at Adam in the garden. Adam had a J-O-B. He was to cultivate the ground. He had dominion over the created beings there. And so we're going to have responsibilities to do. We're going to rule and reign several times in Revelation. Revelation chapter 5 says that we will reign with Christ.
Yep.
You know, he's the groom, we're the bride, we're connected to him, and as he reigns, we will reign and exercise dominion over the new heavens and the new earth. And so to think that we're just going to be sitting around strumming our harps and doing nothing forever is just not true. There's going to be activity, there's going to be art, we're going to create, we're going to build, we're going to work. But here's the key, y'all, it is all for the glory of God, because it's all about him in heaven.
That's right. And carrying out our God-given design and roles.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you've got to think heightened existence. Mm-hmm. Glorified bodies, okay, no sin, no decay, no corruption, no curse. So what we're doing, we talked about this in the series, is fulfilling. The key designation for our work is the absence of frustration. Mm. So, man, we're all going to feel like just that fulfillment of a job well done. We're going to have meaningful things to do. We're not going to be bored, as you said, right? And, Tim, I just love this dynamic of what the scripture presents, that we're carrying out the image of God in us, which means, I think even in a heightened sense from what we've ever known in our world, post-fall, okay, post the day when sin entered the world, like a creativity.
Right.
Right, like what we're going to be able to create, what we're going to be able to produce, the things we're going to be able to do, I just think it's going to be amazing, enjoyable, fulfilling, and as you said, mm-hmm. you know, it's going to bring glory to God because we're going to be carrying out the design that he has planted within our hearts.
Yeah,
you know?
You just said this. I think the misnomer is that somehow the new heavens and the new earth are going to be different than what we're experiencing now. You brought right. it up that it's a heightened sense of what we're now experiencing. So just yep. as we have opportunity to be creative, well, where did that come from? That was a God-given ability yeah. to mankind to be creative. Yeah. Why do we think that that's going to be any less? No, it'll be at a heightened state. So if you enjoy
right.
art, if you enjoy music, if you enjoy literature, why do we think that that's just, you know, not going to be in existence? All that now, to your point, we can do to the glory of God. So I think there's a sense where we have to remove this cultural idea of angels floating on clouds and strumming harps, when the reality is we have the sense of the new heaven and the new earth. It's just in corrupted form
yeah.
right now.
Yeah, yeah. I think yeah. what Tim Keller has that quote, that heaven is not so much pie in the sky as it is a feast on
that's right.
earth.
That's right.
And that, you know, that work, you know, was pre-fall. Work was not as a result of the curse. Adam was working in the garden.
Right.
And so when we think heaven restored Eden, it's not going to be like it is now, tedious and deadlines and bad bosses. Not that I have a bad boss right now. I have a wonderful boss.
Yes.
Absolutely. But
yes.
it's not going to be
yeah.
toil.
That's right.
We're going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I think it's true, like, too, like, one thing, just caveat, and I mentioned this in the first service, too, that in the garden, you think about this, y'all, think about this, lean in. Before God brought Eve to Adam, Adam had a J-O-B. Let that sink in. So all you single ladies out there, if he ain't got a J-O-B, you need to drop him like he's hot. All right, drop it like it's hot. Do we sing that?
No, that's not a Bell Shoals original. No,
I'm just saying, hey, if he ain't willing to work,
yeah,
you need to run, right? That, I mean, amen. I'm preaching now, aren't I?
Yes, but it's good. That's right. Like it is when you look at Adam pre-fall,
uh-huh.
you find work without frustration, responsibility,
yeah.
and that's why we tell. We all have daughters. We
yeah.
tell our daughters and those of you who are single ladies that if he doesn't love Jesus, right? Not just, well, he goes to church or he went to vacation Bible school as a kid. No.
Mm.
If he doesn't love Jesus and he's not a hard worker, he's not for you.
That's right.
Right.
You better run.
You better run.
Run, so, Forrest, run.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm,
all right, let's bring okay, this back yes. on track.
Tim, I don't even know what to do with this.
Let me ask both of you.
All right.
This was a question that came in, and I think it's legitimate. I think many of people were wondering about this. We talk about this old heaven and this new, or old heaven, old earth, new
yep.
heaven, new earth.
Yep.
Well, if heaven and earth are going to be renewed, what was the matter with the ones that we have right now?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, we think, listen, we talk about this in the series. When we say the word heaven or heavens, okay, in the scriptures, there's kind of three different designations that one could mean. Paul talked about being caught up in the third heaven, which is kind of like being with the Lord. And then we think of heaven as an atmospheric condition, right? And, you know, we always think of heaven as up. And that works great if you're in the northern hemisphere, I guess. But if you're in the southern hemisphere, heaven is still up, but it's actually down. So we have to understand, when we're thinking of a new heavens and a new earth, the eternal state, that's different than any kind of reference of a temporal nature. And not to belabor the point, but the problem with the current earth and the current heavens is they're under the curse.
That's right, yeah.
So things don't function properly. Our bodies don't function properly. The ground doesn't function properly. The weather doesn't function properly, right? There's disease. There are natural disasters. There are problems within our universe. So the whole point of this remade heaven and earth is a correction of the curse, which is why I think one of the most incredible verses in all of Revelation, coming out of Revelation 21, is that there will no longer be any curse.
Come on.
Right, Stephen?
Come on.
Like, there's no curse.
Yeah, yeah.
But that has to be brought to us now because the current heavens and the current earth are under a curse.
Yeah.
And therefore, the Lord is going to remake a new heavens and a new earth where there is no sin, there is no death, there is no decay, there is no dysfunction, there are no disasters. Mm-hmm. And thus, it has to be made new.
That's right. Well, let's just read it. Revelation 21, I mean, and let this encourage you. Then I saw, because this is where we're headed. The best is yet to come. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of the heavens from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. And then I heard a loud voice from the throne, "Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them, and they will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God, and he will," here it is, "he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away." Then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, come on now, I am making everything new."
That's right.
People say, "Well, what's wrong with the earth?" And I'm like, look around. just look around. It's broken.
Yep.
And just like you said, I mean, there's disease and death and all. I mean, there's people who root for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes.
I mean, how broken is that?
Yeah, that's messed up.
I mean, that's under the curse right there.
Yes.
So the earth has got to be remade. But we have to think again, going back to restored Eden, Genesis 1 and 2, that's not the way God intended it to be. And when Adam and Eve sinned in Genesis 3, not only did humanity fall, the earth fell, and everything is under the curse, therefore everything has to be remade. And
yes.
That's
right. I think it's impossible for us to fully contemplate the effects of the fall. Mm. The extent of brokenness in our bodies, our relationships, the ground, you know, the universe. I mean, it's just the world is so desperately broken, it's going to have to be remade. And it will be. That's why the second coming of Jesus and the establishment of a new heavens and a new earth is our hope. You know, that's a very important part of what God has given to us. And when we get to that point, Tim, we've talked about friends and family. So will we remember friends and family? We've talked about we will recognize each other and we'll know those relationships. But let me ask you this. What about those in the eternal state that we don't like? Does anybody have somebody they don't like? Okay. Bunch of dishonest people here today. So we probably all have somebody we don't like who's hurt us or they've wounded us. So what are these relationship dynamics going to look like, Tim? That was a very, very common question.
I think the thing we have to remember is the framework of this new heaven and new earth is the sense of perfection.
Yep.
So we will have perfect bodies. We'll have perfect relationship with God. We'll have a perfect restored relationship among one another. We'll have a perfect understanding of ourselves. So when we talk about how we look or what we might like or don't like, that's all in a fallen environment.
That's right.
This will be a perfect environment. And so think about perfect love. There are people who have hurt us, all of us. Many of those people are believers. And we're thinking, you know, we want to treat them like, you know, we're at Publix and we see them down at the end of the aisle and we're like, we're going this way. We don't want to.
Right.
Not necessarily. That's
you do that too? You know,
well, mostly to you. But I mean,
probably because he's singing so loud in public that you don't want to be in the same aisle.
But in a perfect environment like this, all right, that can come to an end.
Yep. Mm.
There are people we've hurt with our actions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That comes to an end in a perfect day. So everything is made right. So what is that element of him wiping away the tears from our eyes? I think there's some of that sense of, okay, this is what the past was. But then he goes on and he says, those things shall be remembered no more.
Mm. That's right. Mm.
I think that's where we also play in to the aspect of the loved ones that we have on earth who do not bow the knee to Jesus, who are not repentant, and they go into a Christless eternity. We carry that today, that pain of potentially, as far as we know, never seeing them again. Mm. Well, again, remember, we serve a just and holy God. We will understand that. Now we understand it like we're looking through a glass dimly, a mirror dimly. Yeah. Then we'll understand it perfectly.
Yes, that's right.
And that he can wipe away as well. Mm.
Yes, no, that's really good. You know, we have to remember that God is just. He's fair, he's right. And when our relationship with God is broken, every other relationship is broken with it. Mm. Every relationship. So those people who have hurt me, or those people who have hurt you, which, by the way, I think the deepest hurt that we experience as believers is the kind of hurt that comes from either family or other believers.
Indeed.
Because you don't expect to be wounded by other believers. You don't expect to be wounded by people who have the same values you have and who are sharing the same future as you. And I think the deepest hurt we experience at times as believers are other believers who do and say things that are just absolutely ungodly. Mm-hmm. You know, like if someone who doesn't know Christ does it, it may hurt, but it's not to the same degree because there's a sense in which you kind of expect it, right? Mm-hmm. But in the eternal state, their relationship with God will be made whole. They will have given account for their lives. We will have been vindicated on the false accusations and the unnecessary hurts that we've experienced. And our relationship with everyone at that point is going to be rooted in the love, mercy, grace, kindness, justice of God. Their relationship with God is right. By the way, as you said, Tim, our relationship with God is made right. And therefore, there is no remembrance of those hurts. They've already been atoned for on the cross. Mm-hmm. And they've already been vindicated, right, in the judgment. And moving through the eternal state, all of our relationships will be unifying and encouraging. We're not carrying any of the baggage from this life into the eternal state.
Yeah, what a beautiful reality that is.
Yeah, that's incredible. Think about it. And it's impossible to fully contemplate.
Because we live in this broken relationship, shattered environment.
Yeah.
That's gone.
Yeah.
And we live in a relationship where even now maybe we've had to put someone outside of fellowship.
Right.
And that's the right thing to do. But the internal state, all those things are remedied.
That's right, made right. Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard to contemplate and to navigate.
And I think you made mention of this a couple of weeks ago. It answers the question, why are we doing this series? Why are we doing a series on heaven? Because it's the eternal hope.
Mm. That's right. That's right.
It's the hope of what we're looking forward to, which makes today the trajectory completely different.
Yes.
We don't live as people in despair.
Yes.
Yeah. We live with a great hope.
Yeah, and Stephen, I think, like, man, the people who have hurt and wounded me deeply, like, without the hope of the resurrection and without the vindication that the Lord will bring, and without him making all things new, it would be, just nearly impossible to live, right?
Yeah,
like, to live without that vindication or without that justice. And, you know, even for, I think of my own self, when I've hurt others, and, you know, to not myself be made whole and to have the forgiveness of God and that hope, man, like, life would be insufferable.
I think so, because, I mean, That's what we have to understand and get to, and it's hard as Americans in our materialistic society. Listen, if you're a believer, I don't care how cozy your home is. I don't care how manly your man cave is. I don't care how hot your hot tub is on your back patio. I don't care how many of your relatives you can get to live next to you in your trailer park. This world will never be our home.
Yep.
We live for a city yet to come. And because this world's not my home and my citizenship is not here, it's in heaven, that allows me to hold things loosely.
That's right.
You know, that allows me to give. That allows me to go on mission. That allows me to forgive other people.
Yes.
And to live like Jesus wants me to live. Why? Because this is not it, y'all. This is not the end. The best is yet to come. And I think you mentioned this a couple of Sundays ago, and I stole it from you, and I said it at Apollo the following Sunday. That's why in persecuted regions in the world,
100%. That's right.
Where Christians are being persecuted, their favorite book of the Bible is Revelation.
That's right.
Why? Because it says, hey, there's a better day coming.
Yes.
There's something better coming. So don't get so wrapped up in this world. Live for the one to come. Send your treasures on ahead and hold things loosely, knowing that God will right every wrong.
And he's going to right
them. That's
right.
Everything, and he will vindicate, and he's going to make all things new. And
That's well said. That's right. So that gets to our last question, Tim. And it really gets to the heart of why we did this series, right? Like, we didn't do this series to publish a book and talk about current events and its relationship, because the reality is none of us know, right? The Lord's given us what he's given us for a greater reason than just satisfying our curiosities. We've got to think about the future in such a way that it impacts our present.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't, then we're thinking about the future wrongly. So, you know, talking about the heart of this series, we have people ask about various religious things like baptism, practices that we have at Bell Shoals that are important to us, but they're not ultimate to us. Mm. What's ultimate is the gospel and what we believe about what Jesus has secured for us in forgiveness and our future. And so just talking about why we did the series and, you know, to any of those kinds of church membership, baptism, Lord's Supper, all these things, like all these things essential for heaven. No, heaven's ultimately about Jesus, his atoning sacrifice for us, and his securing of our future dwelling.
That's right. We did have a number of questions that were related to things like you mentioned baptism.
Yeah.
There were other things, church membership and things like that. As much as we hold to the importance of baptism, as much as we see that as the ordinance, one of two ordinances of the church, we value that highly. It is not essential for salvation. So we probably need to be very clear on that aspect. And one of the wonderful illustrations of this is by our Lord himself turning to the thief on the cross saying, today you're going to be with me in
paradise.
He did not have the opportunity to submit to that aspect of obedience in believer's baptism.
Yep.
And so that is clear. But another follow-up question that came in, Pastor Corey, I think you probably have to be the one that answers this, is that some people just point blank said, how do I get there?
Right. Mm. Yeah, how do we have that security?
How do I know today? Because I don't have that.
Yep.
And I think that's part of the wrestling is, I want it, but how do I get it? How do I know?
Yep. Well, and we'll land the plane here. You know, heaven is just so important for everyone to understand. Heaven is not secured through our own effort.
Mm.
And that is our default mode of operation. We wanna have a say in what our future looks like. And believe me, I totally understand that. You know, all of us work hard and we apply ourselves and we're gonna keep our hands to the plow. But when it comes to our salvation, it doesn't matter how hard you work, you can never accomplish it on your own.
Mm.
And therefore, you know, if you're here today and you don't know for sure if heaven is your place of future dwelling, we want you to understand the only way you can get there is by trusting in Christ and putting your faith in Jesus, because he has done all that is required for us to have our sins forgiven and to have this future home. And I don't know, I was taught, guys, like growing up, you know, the ABCs. Admit, believe, confess.
Yeah.
Right.
And you have to admit that you're a sinner and that you are broken. And that can be really, really hard to admit, but you are, and I am too. And that's why we talk about at Bell Shoals aggressive authenticity. We're just keeping it real.
Mm-hmm.
you know? And no one keeps it more real than my guy right here, who can't sing, but yet he sings in front of thousands. So, no, but I mean, we're all broken, right? So yeah. We have to admit, yeah, we need help. And then believe that Christ lived. Jesus lived in human history 2,000 years ago, well documented by thousands of eyewitnesses. He lived a life without sin, and then he died on a Roman cross as an atoning sacrifice for us. The wrath of God was poured out on him instead of us.
That's right.
And if you'll believe in Christ that he lived, that he died, and that he rose from the dead bodily, and confess him as Lord, and ask him to save you, the Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Right. That's the only way you can go to heaven. Mm. You can't go to heaven any other way. It's by believing in Jesus. And if that's your deepest need today, then we'd love to help you with that. And you can connect with one of us after the service, connect with our staff at our round tables at every one of our campuses, text Bell Shoals to 77411, and we'd love to help you with that. And last thing, listen, if you are a Christ follower already today, I just want you to understand, we've done this series to ground your endurance, to ground your encouragement.
That's right.
Because heaven is given to us in the New Testament, not just, again, give us little talking points that are interesting to debate. This is coming. And this is our hope. And so whatever we are enduring today, whatever grievances, whatever hardships, right, whatever forms of brokenness, there is a better day coming.
That's right.
And our Savior's returning. And we'll have glorified bodies. We'll be reunited with those who know the Lord, and we will live forever with him. And heaven is our hope, and it grounds our endurance, our encouragement, and all of us go through, even like we're not immune from it in ministry, right? It's like there's anything you could ever do. Say, well, if I do this, then God's going to exempt me from hardship. Like, we're in a broken world. Yeah. But what God has done, apart from the greatest gift of salvation, is to give us a hope that endures so that today, no matter what we face, we're going to be faithful to the Lord, and we're going to endure. And we're going to trust that as we seek him and serve him, he's going to honor that obedience, and he's going to reward us in the eternal state. And so heaven is really about, for the believer, endurance, which is why persecuted believers around the world cling to revelation, because there is a better day coming. And I hope this series has been an encouragement to you, right? We spent a lot of time on it. And the podcast that's now live on our YouTube channel and every other platform is a deeper dive. I hope that's an encouragement to you. But as Paul said, if Christ were not raised from the dead, we above all others are to be pitied. But we have a hope, don't we? And we have a future. And we say with John, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Just come on. I'm good with that. Aren't you? I'm good with it. Come on. And when the Lord returns, he'll establish this eternal state, and we'll be with him forever. Yeah. And I'm a little excited about that.
Come on, baby.
I know you are.
Come on.
So don't start singing again.
Oh, man, I was about to break out something.
No. We got to go. So, hey, why don't we stand together? Let me ask my brothers to bring it in here.
Come on.
And let's pray together as we wrap up our series. And we look forward to seeing you next week, kicking off another great series. Tim, brother, why don't you pray for us as we lean into the hope of heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. It gives us a glimpse of what the future is. But even more than that, we thank you for your son. Thank you for the reality of one who has paid a price for us that we could not pay for ourselves. Thank you that we come to him by faith. Thank you that the road forward is a blessing beyond what we'll ever imagine until we experience. So we look forward. May we persevere. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.
Amen.